In preserving this letter and including it in his collection of particular treasures, Perry was not moved by affection. Far from it. He loathed Barbara, and just the other day he had told Dick, "The only real regret I have. I wish the hell my sister had been in that house." Dick had laughed and confessed to a similar yearning. "I keep thinking what fun if my second wife had been there. Her and all her goddamn family." No. He valued the letter merely because his prison friend, the super-intelligent Willie J., had written for him a very sensitive analysis of it, occupying two single-spaced typewritten pages, with the title, "Impressions I Garnered from the Letter," at the top. Impressions I Garnered from the Letter. 1. When she began this letter, she intended that it should be a compassionate demonstration of Christian principles. That is to say, that in return for your letter to her, which apparently annoyed her, she meant to turn the other cheek, hoping in this way to incite regret for your previous letter and to place you on the defensive in your next. However few people can successfully demonstrate a principle in common ethics when their deliberation is festered with emotionalism. Your sister substantiates this failing, for as her letter progresses, her judgment gives way to temper. Her thoughts are good, lucid, the products of intelligence, but it is not now an unbiased, impersonal intelligence. It is a mind propelled by emotional response to memory and frustration. Consequently, however wise her admonishments might be, they fail to inspire resolve, unless it would be the resolve to retaliate by hurting her in your next letter, thus commencing a cycle that can only culminate in further anger and distress. 2. It is a foolish letter, but born of human failing. Your letter to her, and this, her answer to you, failed in their objectives. Your letter was an attempt to explain your outlook on life, as you are necessarily affected by it. It was destined to be misunderstood or taken too literally because your ideas are opposed to conventionalism. What could be more conventional than a housewife with three children who is dedicated to her family? What could be more natural than that she would resent an unconventional person? There is considerable hypocrisy in conventionalism. Any thinking person is aware of this paradox. But in dealing with conventional people, it is advantageous to treat them as though they were not hypocrites. It isn't a question of faithfulness to your own concepts. It is a matter of compromise so that you can remain an individual without the constant threat of conventional pressures. Her letter failed because she couldn't conceive of the profundity of your problem. She couldn't fathom the pressures brought to bear upon you because of environment, intellectual frustration, and a growing tendency toward isolationism. 3. She feels that A. you are leaning too heavily towards self-pity, B. that you are too calculating, C. that you are really undeserving of an 8-page letter written in between motherly duties. 4. On page 3 she writes, "I truthfully feel none of us has anyone to blame, etc." Thus vindicating those who bore influence in her formative years. But is this the whole truth? She is a wife and mother, respectable and more or less secure. It is easy to ignore the rain if you have a raincoat. But how would she feel if she were compelled to hustle her living on the streets? Would she still be all forgiving about the people in her past? Absolutely not. Nothing is more usual than to feel that others have shared in our failures, just as it is an ordinary reaction to forget those who have shared in our achievements.